Yankees are going to throw to Vladdy. He's at the plate with two out in the 10th. The pitch. Swinging a line drive. Base hit into left field. The Blue Jays are going to win it. Biggio scores. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. delivers in the 10th. The Blue Jays race onto the field, celebrating a game winner.
For him coming through right there with two outs, huge for him. He's been grinding a little bit, and hopefully this kind of catapults him down the stretch here.
Beautiful, beautiful evening in Blue Jays fandom. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Man, that was playoff baseball last night.
That was fun.
I wish I was at that game. The atmosphere, the stakes, the extra innings, the walk-off, the decisions that the coaching was making. That's it. That's what you look for in September baseball.
Yeah, that's always the goal. That's the baseline goal. Let's play meaningful September baseball. It's not truly meaningful unless it's, you know, two teams that are actually gearing up for what's ahead, right? Like, it's, you know, are the Orioles playing meaningful baseball right now? I guess so. It's probably a good thing for them to be in the position they are in because they're a young team, small payroll, all that stuff. But that is meaningful baseball. That is different than, hey, we're at the fringes of the wild card race. It's when you're making those decisions, you have those at-bats that are high stress. You have those big moments where something like Vladdy Jr. Mm-hmm. or something like what Vladdy Jr. provided, that means something else. And that gets you ready for the postseason. I am now ready after that game to turn the page.
I've been ready, Justin.
You've been ready. I mean, you've been grinding all summer with this, of course. But that's just like, I can't wait to see Rogers Center mm-hmm. with the atmosphere, not just buoyed by the Aaron Judge stuff, but just because big games, big moments are about to happen.
You're right. We set up the stakes going into yesterday's game. Not only is it Aaron Judge watch, and every time he's at the plate, every other television network and show that's ever, Survivor, I don't care if it's The Bachelorette, they're cutting split screen to Aaron Judge at bat. The news covering, you know, significant things in the world.
Live look-in
at Rogers Center. That alone adds this to the stakes. The Yankees last night had a chance to clinch. Didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Judge, didn't happen. Blue Jays now magic number 3. Walk off. You don't know what else you can ask for. Like, it was perfect September baseball, starting with the top to the bottom.
Pitching
to the hitting.
If you could hold off the Yankees winning the division at Rogers Center this week, that'd be huge. Honestly, that would be a nice, not moral victory. It's way beyond that.
Victory.
It would be something, another building block to have, you know, traversed, for lack of the better word. Like, finding a way to continue to incentivize the rest of the season, prevent them digging your heels in, winning something at home. Hopefully they have the chance to win a different 3-game series at home. But just another little carrot to chase as they look to officially get into the playoffs, solidify home field advantage. Of course, they're not going to catch the Yankees, but I guess it's still mathematically possible if they sweep the Yankees. So you can only take care of what you can control. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's going to get a little tougher here with the pitching. But this is a big, big series and an opportunity to make a statement.
The Yankees were on a 7-game winning streak as well coming into yesterday.
Which is the reason why the division's out of play.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Gausman starts the game not at his best, but the ability to turn it around after that first inning and hit our over in strikeouts, first of all. Thank you, Kevin Gausman. He gets his 200th career strikeout in the game in his 30th start ever. He's got third in WAR in the majors. He pushes his ERA down. That's giving your team an opportunity to win a game. Kevin Gausman, great pitching matchup in general. He decides to pitch to Judge,
mm-hmm.
which we discussed. How is that going to go? He was hungry for it. Judge goes single, walk, intentional walk, strikeout looking and strikeout swinging yesterday in his at-bats. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good result if you're looking at what Aaron Judge was projected to do or could do against the Toronto Blue Jays. He's 1-for-7 against Gausman. So keep that streak going. Keep that consistency if you're Kevin Gausman. the turnaround for him was pivotal, and also I think gives the team a lot of momentum the rest of that game.
Yeah, and it's what he's been doing all season, really. I mean, you mentioned the WAR, the ERA going down to 3.30. I mean, this has been an exceptional debut season for Kevin Gausman. He hits 200 Ks in his 30th start, and there's some like round numbers to work with here, of course, with him making his 30th start. That's, I guess, what you'd have him earmarked for. He can make one more. I suppose it may or may not be important at all. It probably will have some relevance. But I feel like we could almost tie a little bow on his regular season, and we're going to have Ben Ennis on in the 7 o'clock hour, and I feel like we can dole out a grade or at least some sort of final assessment to his regular season and what was, obviously very, very important. I mean, the Blue Jays are in a position where if they don't have Manoah or Gausman or one of these guys went down or dealt with something, I mean, the season could be plunging into the depths of the earth, because these guys have been so, so important to them. And if you look at all the big money contracts signed in the offseason, Kevin Gausman's one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable in length and term. But more important than that, he's just hit the value unlike others that would be on that list. And we could, I guess, go through some of those players, but it doesn't really matter. He probably got market value, maybe a little below market value, honestly, by the way he's performed. And he's delivered everything that you needed from him this season so far. And of course, we'll, you know, the story isn't complete yet, but what he's done through 30 starts, 200 Ks, top percentile in terms of WAR from starting pitchers all year, like, he's given you everything that you signed up for when you signed Kevin Gausman in the offseason.
5-year, $110 million. One of the biggest contracts handed out in general this winter. I mean, you can easily cross-reference that to somebody else in the starting rotation that got some big money. Like, that alone makes this conversation easier. Kevin Gausman starts this series off. We're going to have Jose Berríos Tuesday. You know, we set it up yesterday that possibly it was going to be Mitch White tonight. They knew that I was going down for Looney Dogs, and they knew the stakes were high tonight, so...
Schneider's second most important call yesterday. We should talk about that.
I was going to say, let's talk about that. So, boos rain down on Schneider after he decides to walk Aaron Judge in the 10th.
Select boos.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, there's boos.
Yeah.
In the moment, you're sitting there on your couch. What are your thoughts before you see how it plays out? Try to...
Okay, so Aaron Judge is up moment. With two men on. Mm-hmm. So we're loading the bases, correct?
Correct.
We're loading the bases. So generally, you wouldn't put a runner on third in that situation.
That's
you'd fill an empty first base, whatever. So it's a bit of a roll of the dice. And Anthony Rizzo was hitting some balls hard in the game as well. So it wasn't like this is an automatic. You had some schleb after Aaron Judge. Not that anyone hitting behind Aaron Judge would be incapable of putting a bat on the ball. But, you know, it's so easy after to say this is the right move. But I feel like this thing about Aaron Judge. Yeah, he's chasing Roger Maris. Could have the greatest home run season of all time because he, of course, is not being assisted by anything illegal. But he's also hitting like 450 in the last month or whatever. Like, he's so red hot. It's not just home runs. He's hitting everything right now. So you played the percentages, and you played the percentages correctly. And you also have that chance to answer in the bottom half of the inning with the runner starting
and
in second.
That's something he said post-game was, we got the top of our lineup ready. I felt confident that we would get at least a run.
Mm-hmm. And that's that's the easy justification. But if the same sort of thing happened in the postseason and it doesn't go well, I mean, we'd be all over him. So it's like, it's always self-serving. But John Schneider's, he's got the courage and his conviction. Like, he has, what I like about him is he has his way. He follows it. He doesn't seem to be wavering. He's also got the attention of the room.
And
it seems like he's respected in every single, with whatever he chooses to do, he's respected. He's earned that respect. And this is another example of him earning that respect, because it seems like he made the right call. It was a ballsy call. But it was the right call, and it helped the Blue Jays win the ballgame. That's all you can really ask for.
I think that sitting there in that moment, I thought, oof.
also a little disappointing in that, like,
sure. But the 10th, I'm not sure in the 10th I wanted to see Aaron Judge get his home run.
You want to see the home run in that sense, but that's like the biggest moment. That's the big moment of the game.
100%.
Like that, this is what they're cutting live from The Bachelor to see this moment. So it was
imagine
like
the price of the ball on that one.
And that's again, that's another
clinching Aaron Judge home run.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps it what, an extra $100,000 at least, that ball.
It's another part of like how what he did was admirable. He didn't care about the reaction. Mm-hmm. He cared about what was important for his team. And that probably earned him even more respect than he already has from his team.
Why would you not do that? Like, what other manager in baseball was really going to let Aaron Judge come up, the number one player, the MVP, and hit that ball when you got a lefty on lefty next? And I know it's Rizzo, who's no schlub. I was on board with it, and I didn't have a problem, regardless of the outcome. The outcome makes it look like he's a genius, but I think that was just kind of expected. If you're the manager of this team and you are going for a playoff berth, this is different. We talked about the stakes are huge for the Blue Jays. Everyone that was interviewed post-game, well, you know, we're playing for something. But we needed that win. So is it that shocking of a decision? I don't think so.
No, and it's probably not a decision you make, you know, in the middle of summer. It's the decision you make to win a big ball game, and it's exactly what happened.
This is playoff baseball.
It's where all these decisions are highlighted. And again, we can go, like, a lot of these decisions are made by an algorithm, right? That's like the big criticism of baseball now, that it's lost a bit of its soul in that decisions are made based on, you know, long-term health and what a computer-based model would say. But this seemed like something that's taking the information but applying also your gut instinct.
Logic.
Because the logic would never say, hey, throw a mm-hmm. runner on third, that's a go-ahead runner on third. But when Aaron Judge has a chance, when he's sitting on 60 home runs and has been hitting 450 the last whatever couple weeks it's been, it felt like the right move at the time.
The rest of the game goes to John Schneider's plan. Vladdy walks it off, and the camera catches his post-celebration where he goes, my house, my house.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that's in reference to? Is it just about all the attention on Judge?
I think it's you come to the Rogers Center and you make it all about me. This is my house. This is mm-hmm. my team's house. I inject it to my veins, as people yeah. like to say. I watched that like 5 times. It was on social media. That's the preseason Vladdy. This is the trailer. This is the movie.
We finally saw a bit of the movie.
We did. And he comes up, and that was so pivotal for Vladdy, I hope, where this is probably one of the most important games that he's played in this season, I would say. Mm-hmm. He gets that opportunity to walk it off. He's been someone that, even though he's having a quite successful season, we've continuously been like, is it the Vladdy?
Nationally, a little bit
sure.
of a yeah, but thing.
Yeah, like, but.
Oh, that's, you know, he came second to Shohei last year. And, you know, he was doing a lot of the Judge mm-hmm. things last year, but not quite on the same level, but, you know, a little bit of a step back.
Huge for Vladdy.
So there's always that little, like, eh.
Huge for Vladdy.
But Toronto sports fans understand that this isn't his best season, mm-hmm. but it's still a productive season. And it's a season that could be his most productive if he provides some of those moments when it matters.
I thought that was awesome. I love it. I think that's going to be
like the perfect highlight, too.
The perfect highlight.
Like sometimes the moment doesn't. Oh, man.
They're elite.
And Vladdy knows, too. Like Vladdy, like there was an article about this Blue Jays social media team, and like mm-hmm. Vladdy was like instrumental in getting them, you know, more and more access and being that guy who invites them in and shows them the ropes a little bit. Like, he understands what sort of platform he has. He understands that where the cameras are, how to make the best use of that highlight. Vladdy knows.
Yankees, 11th walk-off loss of the season, most in the MLB. Vladdy accounts for 3 of the Blue Jays' 5 walk-off hits this season. A good text in, Andrew from Mississauga goes, Vlad has said that before on a walk-off. Well, that's his shtick. I love it.
It is his house.
If you deliver 3 out of 5 of your team's walk-off hits and against the Yankees, you deserve to say, this is my city.
That felt,
this is my country.
That felt as emphatic as a celebration, though. And I think that's just the moment. It's where they are in the season. It's the moment. Shout out to Teo for having the the cooler ready to go.
Yeah.
Like that helped make the celebration too. Like he immediately was hit with a bucket of water.
There's no doubt that he was going to.
Sportsnet's new, you know, 5K cameras or whatever they are too.
Man, it feels like you're nice. Like that. The 5K cameras are better than my eyesight. Like I watched that on TV and I'm like, I've never viewed things like that in my life. I don't see in that clarity. Like I watch it on TV and I think that's what, is that what people like, is that what your eyes are? Because those 5K cameras are, they're like from the future.
They're tremendous. I remember.
Is your eyesight that good?
No, my
eyes. Like, don't you feel like you're watching some sort of like cinematic masterpiece?
It's hard to even describe what's different. It's just like so better. I remember the first time. I remember when my dad was like, I was probably in like high school, and my dad's like, we're bringing home HD TV. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
I mean, how could it be any different? Like, he's so excited about it. I'm like, the TV's fine. And then he throws it on, and you're like, oh, we've been watching TV wrong for the. My entire childhood.
The most frustrating thing about my parents is they don't go to HD TVs.
You're still rocking standard def there.
No,
right?
They have it. They just go. They just are memorized that they're old numbers.
Yes.
Instead of like 1501, they do 501.
My mother did that for a long time until they like switched it where it's like it's foolproof. Like it'll like automatically send you to the right channel.
When I go home for like holidays, I'm like, put the right TV on. Why are we watching this? They're like, we didn't even notice. I'm like, get your eyes checked. Anyway, yeah. 5K or 10K, whatever we're viewing it in, made the moment even more elite.
Want to know my favorite stat, though, from last night's
game?
Yankees struck out 14 times. The most they've been struck out in a game, and again, 10th inning helped, since, I believe, mid-June, Buck Martinez said, 3.5 months. So that says a little bit of, like, that's one criticism I've had about the Blue Jays, at least from a bullpen standpoint, is, like, do they have swing and miss stuff? And, you know, Gausman got seven of those Ks again. Shout out to Kevin Gausman and Chad from Peterborough. The fact
elite.
That you were able to command so many swings and misses from that lineup through 10 innings says something about, like, what your bullpen can be when it's at its best. Because that's what they're going to throw in optimally in a postseason series is a combination of what they had last night.
A special shout out to another listener who said, Romano strikes out the side in the ninth. Remember that?
Did we say that on the show?
I did say that out loud. And I think Connor and Vaughn just texted in saying, just following up on my wake and rake suggestion from yesterday, hashtag called it. I believe it was him that predicted that would happen.
I don't even know if you can bet on that. Can you? I mean, we don't even know if Jordan Romano is getting into the game.
If you could bet Jordan Romano 3 strikeouts, it probably have...
Maybe there's an over-under 2.5 strikeouts for... I don't think so.
Regardless. Our listeners...
We have some boasting to do. I think we should
mystical
boast.
Mystical. Right now? Well, you know what? We'll boast now because we'll set up that our first ever three-leg parlay with the listeners' anchor hit last night. We're batting 1,000.
Chad from Peterborough should be... Like, we need to hear from him.
Yeah, please
text
him, Chad.
At some point today. If you're listening, Chad...
He's waking up with a big pocket full of money.
Yeah, we need a victory lap from you. But yeah, all three of our picks hit, of course, in order to cash a parlay. And that's what you have to have happen. But Gausman, on his final pitch, we didn't know if he was going to get out there for the seventh inning.
Yeah, he did it.
But his final pitch of the game, he gets the over on the 6.5 strikeouts. You hit over Barkley 75.5 or 77.5 rush yards. And then the Giants Cowboys was a field goal fest, as I expected, over 3.5.
God.
That was a great start. And we also got my same game parlay. So
a pretty good
we
night.
Had a great night.
Stay tuned for the wake and rake when I will set up the most important part of tonight's game at the Rogers Center, the Looney Dogs.
Let me guess.
The final ever Looney Dogs, first of all, listeners, this is it. This is our opportunity to make history tonight at the Rogers Center. We will set the lines. We will discuss. I am willing to put a limit. I'm putting a number on myself and I will deliver. I don't care if I'm going to be sick tomorrow in the morning.
You're going to do your part?
I need to do my part because tonight is pivotal for
I feel like there's
going to
be
in the city.
There's going to be like a hole in your world when Looney Dogs
disappears
for 6 to 7 months.
This evening, Barrios on the mound, opportunity to win the series. To win the series against the Yankees tonight. We'll set that all up later in the day, as Justin mentioned, we have Ben Ennis at 7. We'll do a little extra baseball. We're going to have Aaron Rose at 7:30 because the Raptors had media day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And media day, like, we went to Leafs media day. Sometimes you leave with, well, yeah, they said the kind of the same things about the team looking good this year and the players looking fit after this postseason, you know, working out, and the vibes are high. But the biggest question I think that remained in the postseason around the Raptors was, did they get better? They didn't make any splashy moves. They didn't address some of the holes that fans and media were expecting. And I think that Masai doubled down quite well on his mentality that we have a team that is growing and we're believing in the patience of this team and the internal growth of this season. But also, we compete to win and we expect to win. And I think that's going to be, once again, the discussion point is, what are your expectations for a team? How much growth are you expecting in a postseason from these players? What is your goal? If your goal is to win, I don't think the Raptors have done the steps to make them a championship contender team this postseason.
No, and certainly the Raptors will never go as far as Greg Popovich to say that you should not go to Vegas and bet on us because we're not going to win. Put that in the wake and rake to just avoid that. It's got to be like minus 100,000. Anyway, I think the Raptors have found this like sweet spot, right? Where they can develop and still be a highly, highly respectable unit at the same time. Because if you look at their offseason, if you look at last season and look at the offseason, you'd think, okay, like this team clearly wasn't good enough, but didn't make the effort to get considerably better. And I feel like that could be frustrating, but I think the reality with the Raptors is that they just operate at a different floor. Like, while the rest of the NBA's and a lot of professional sports teams have a floor where, okay, you're like retooling a little bit, this is your baseline level, you're not going to be doing better than 500. But the Raptors' floor is, hey, we're just going to operate at a really high level still. We're going to threaten to win 50 games. We're going to go to the playoffs, and we're going to be annoying when the playoffs actually get there. I do think this has to be the last season for that, though. Like, at some point, you have to optimize your roster. And I think they have the excuse, not even the excuse, they have the reason and the rationale to do this, because Scottie Barnes is just entering year two. We don't know exactly what Precious Achiuwa is. We don't know what a lot of these players can still be. So this is a season, again, about gathering information. What exactly, put the positionless Scottie Barnes, who exactly is this player? And what do we need to do to surround him to make best use of him? So it feels like we're going into another year where it's like free roll at the table. Let's figure out exactly what we have and let's continue to put ourselves in a position where we can make that big move, whether it's through trade, free agency, whatever, to get over the hump. I think their patience can be frustrating at times, but it's also very admirable. And it's a position that I don't think Masai Ujiri is like in a class by himself. Like, no one else can operate the way he does, and Bobby Webster, to be fair, where they don't have to show, they don't have to push. They don't have to push. They do it the right way. They do it the way that they deem fit. And while there were options to get better this offseason, they chose to keep things on the trajectory that they were because they feel like that's the best way to take advantage of the core that they have now and the players that they have now. Again, it feels like, you know, there's not going to be too much to dig into because this is another year about internal growth, and we'll see how far that internal growth takes them. But I would understand why people would be a little bit frustrated that they didn't at least address small things like the lack of shooting or the lack of big man talent or rim protection or whatever you want to call it, just a traditional big. They haven't really changed much. And for that reason, I think we're going to see much of the same, which is a team that clearly isn't on the level as the elites in the Eastern Conference, but will still be highly competitive. And that's a decent place to be in, to be honest.
I think Masai's earned the quote from everybody of trust in Masai, trust in Masai. But you're right.
And that gets a little annoying after a while.
It does. But there's a limit to that. And I think you're right that this season could be the limit to trust in Masai if it's not a successful season, whatever that is for Raptors fans, whatever that is for the Raptors organization.
I just think eventually you have to strike. And it's not even about like, oh, you didn't make it happen this year. It's just more about, okay, eventually you got to make your move. Eventually you have to show that ambition to try to win a title again. And with, you know, basically standing pat and relying exclusively on internal growth. Like, you're not putting yourself in that position. And I think that's fine. It's now, but it's not. You can't do that forever.
Okay, so they had some opportunities this postseason to make some moves, such as Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we heard a lot of clips and we heard a lot of talk. And we actually, Bobby Webster was on Tim and Friends and sat down with Tim. We got a good clip about the whole KD postseason stuff.
Anytime something serious like that is out there, you have to, you know, think deeply and examine it. I think ultimately where we came out is kind of where we started this, which is we believe in this team, right? We think this team has enough growth in it. Time will tell, and that's the big challenge, to kind of go from a really good team to a legit contender. That's where we came up.
Okay, so I think people wanted to know what happened with the KD stuff. Clearly, they, you know, kicked doors, right? There was an opportunity. That's fine. I think we had this conversation quite a lot in the summer. What would you be willing to give up for Kevin Durant? That's obviously past, come and gone. You're putting a lot of faith in Scotty and being your future as well. I'm very happy with keeping Scotty Barnes. Sure, Kevin Durant is this generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
But with Masai's structure of what he's saying, believe in the guys you have, believe in your internal growth, it makes sense to see that didn't happen. Maybe you're still wishing that it did happen, but we're moving forward on that, and he's doubling down, and so is Bobby Webster, that this is the way that we view our team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be a little disappointed that, like, the perfect world scenario didn't present itself, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's two teams involved in a negotiation, and Brooklyn clearly didn't want to just give away Kevin Durant.
And did you hear what Kevin Durant said on the podium yesterday?
Cole's notes.
He basically was like, well, I knew you weren't going to give me up for nothing. Like, I'm good enough.
Which is true. Which is 100%
true. He's very self-aware.
I mean, the fact that he's reporting and everything's okay is a bit surprising given what we saw in the offseason.
There's still time, Justin.
They seem to mend the fences somehow. And anyway, things aren't going to change that much in Brooklyn, and they're not going to change that much in Toronto, because I think they didn't want to give up on what they are organically building. And I don't know if it was, like, more about Scotty or more about Pascal or whatever it is, but they didn't want to blow up what mm-hmm. they had and what they may have for Kevin Durant, at least it seems. But, you know, it's also possible that that was never really a possibility because Kevin Durant wasn't going to move or whatever. Like, it's not like you can just snap your fingers and make the trade.
100%.
There's a lot of other factors at play.
An important part of this idea moving forward and why the Kevin Durant thing didn't happen possibly was the growth in Pascal Siakam and what they expect from him. Remember, he's coming off this time around a healthy postseason where in the past he obviously had the shoulder surgery and it took him a little while to get that game back.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, he's starting where he should be. He's coming off the All-NBA honors. And he talked about yesterday what his goals are for himself this season.
I think for me, after the year that I had, I just felt like there's so much things that I could get better on. And for me, the next step, like, I've been All-NBA, I've been an All-Star. Like, it's just, I want to be, you know, top five player in the league. Like, I want to be one of the best. And I would do everything that I can to work towards that. And you know, I just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page. And I, obviously, it's not about talking about it. It's about the action that you do, like, the things that you do, and how you carry yourself. And I think that, yeah, like, I'm ready for it. Yeah, it's time.
Wants to be a top five player in the league this year.
Hmm?
Well, that would be very significant if that's the case. For Raptors fan base would love that. I think there was a lot of wanting for a lot of the season last year of, when's Pascal going to be that man, right? When's he going to be that guy? And he showed that down the end of the season that he could be. So now he's starting the season in a better place, obviously with a lot of postseason growth, hopefully. To be a top five player, it's a pretty good goal.
Well, that's meaningful internal growth, right? Like, if Pascal can find a way to take a big leap in addition to Scotty and Precious, and maybe OG certainly has room for internal improvement as well, maybe just staying healthy would be sort of the baseline there, then you can survive the fact that you had the least roster turnover league-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frustrating if you're not a complete
team. Say that stat again. The least roster tournament turnover league-wide.
League-wide. So this is the same team, but I come back to what we heard at Media Day with the Maple Leafs, what John Tavares said. When you're old, and I'm paraphrasing here, when you're old, you can't make big changes. He's trying to make subtle changes. Apologies to John Tavares, you're not old. But when you're on the other side of 30, it's hard to really transform your game. But when you are young, as he said, you can make changes and improvements by leaps and bounds. So if the Raptors' young players who still have that improvement, maybe Freddie can't improve that much. But Freddie's already, you know, locked into being a foundational piece, and he can just sustain. But if they do make giant leaps with those key players, they can be a far better team. And just to give some respect to Otto Porter Jr., they did add Otto mm-hmm. Porter Jr., who's a big who can shoot the three and should help this team
and
improve.
Won a championship.
Just in that. And won a championship.
Pedigree. Not many players in the Raptors roster can say that.
So it's not like they came out of the summer completely empty-handed. But again, like a guy who's really going to change, a guy who's going to be in your starting five, Otto Porter is more of a depth piece who will improve or will help in several ways.
Okay, so Pascal Young, able to hopefully make big strides. Scotty Barnes, what more can we expect from Scotty Barnes, the rookie of the year? Possibly playing a different position. And now we have two clips, Masai talking about Scotty and Scotty talking about what he wants this season. Let's play what Masai has to say about Scotty Barnes first.
You know, honestly, like, Scotty is one of those guys that, you know, like, can you tell what that guy is going to be? He's like one of those players of the future or something. I don't know, like, how to describe him. Somebody came up to me yesterday and said, they told me Twitter was going crazy because we listed Scotty as a guard. And I don't know what position that guy plays. Yeah, who knows what position he plays? He's one of those guys that just plays basketball and is an incredible basketball player, you know, and wants to win, you know. But how dynamic he is, yeah, he's one of those players of the future I see, you know. Can pass, basketball IQ, learn how to shoot. I think that'll come with time. Incredible teammate, incredible person, but just so dynamic on the court. Growing pains will come, you know, as usual. You saw playoffs, somebody that's committed to winning. I'm excited about his progress.
How can you not be? If you've seen some of these Scotty post or off-season clips, yeah, I know what he's talking mm-hmm. about. Twitter was excited about those. Twitter also likes to catch on to little tweaks. And Scotty very openly said that he believes in himself as possibly a point guard. He said he's very confident in that role. There's a spot to earn that.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. Masai's being a little cagey, I think, of course, and I don't know exactly what the plans are, but they didn't address the issue of Fred needing to have his load lightened.
You know
this
who did,
season.
Though? Nick Nurse.
Go ahead.
Nick Nurse said the following: I'm going to play him less minutes. Yeah. I think that he has played great, and we need him out there, but again, we've got more depth as we learn in the playoffs, and we can move pieces and do some things.
But who's soaking up those minutes? It seems like it's going to be the once positionless.
And you know what? We've heard that a
Scotty
lot
from
Nick Nurse too. We've heard.
We have.
I'm going to play Fred VanVleet less.
And what else is he going to say?
I'm not
like,
taking that
Masai
to heart.
Masai didn't give me any help.
Right.
here, nor they're just they have plans for Scotty Barnes to handle the ball more and Pascal Siakam to handle the ball more and just have bigger lineups where you're not necessarily leaning on Fred to be out there at all times. Now, I don't know if that's the best way to go. I tend to think the traditional point guard is, I don't want to say undervalued, but maybe overlooked. Like, it's a really, really important position. It's important to have that sort of ball handling and command on the floor at all times, I feel. But if Scotty Barnes is this player with untapped potential who can do just about everything, and he can help take some of the minutes away from Fred VanVleet because he can do so much on the floor, then so be it. And then maybe you're not making concessions with a point guard who came off the scrap heap and is going to give you nothing but replacement level stuff. So it's like they're in full experimental mode, I think, at all times. And that's okay when you're in the position that they're in. And it's all about gaining as much information as possible. And I feel like the Scotty Barnes experiment of this season, mm-hmm. figuring out exactly where he is and where he's going to go, it sort of knows no bounds. Like, they're going to just let him ball. And that's pretty exciting if you're a Raptors fan, that this player who has so much potential and is just oozing athleticism is just going to be able to do whatever. There are no restrictions on him.
And the fact that he wants that and he's not content with, I just won Rookie of the Year. Like, I just won the Rookie of the Year award.
And he's unpolished, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more he can round to his game, and he just won Rookie of the Year.
And for him to have the drive to want to find a different fit, possibly, or do more, or put himself in maybe an uncomfortable position. There's growing pains, as Masai said. That's a huge indicator of the competitor that this guy is and what he wants to do, and he wants to lead this team. Here's the clip on him potentially wanting to step into that point guard position.
I've always been a point guard, you know. I always had those point guards things, but I feel like I can do it all, no matter what it is. I can play any position, so I don't really try to limit myself to one position. But I always been seeing myself as a point guard. I feel like that's why I went to Florida State. They gave me that promise that I was going to be the point guard of that team, so that's why I went to Florida State, and that was really one of the main reasons why I went there. So I feel like I always saw myself as a point guard, but I always see myself as I can play any position, so it doesn't really matter what position it is. I play it all.
The other big news for Media Day. Mm-hmm. Now, it feels like there's like a little bit less to unpack generally, but that might just be me who's been around the Leafs Media Day and not the Raptors Media Day. But the big news in terms of like social... It's OG adding punctuation to his name.
OG.
How do we go OG without the periods prior for how many seasons? Five, six, seven? Been around for a while. And now he's adding punctuation to his name. It's a big thing.
It's a bold move. O dot G dot.
I like the no dots. I thought that was OG.
I think it's strange.
But I mean,
it's not as aesthetically pleasing.
Prefer your name. It was different, right? It was something different. It was like OG. OG was all, you know, he's mysterious.
I love OG. He had a really fun clip also about, like, he's just, you know how OG is. He's like understated. He makes those funny little comments, and
he's one of those guys where you're like not sure if you're supposed to laugh when he's saying something. Like, you're just like,
he's got that dryness that you're like, is he joking, or is this like him in general?
Like, I can see him presenting that and be like, are you serious, OG? Like, we've had it wrong this whole time, and he's just, you don't know exactly what he's trying to get across.
He's good content, including...
Big content guy.
He was asked about, you know, what he did this summer, and did he have a good off season? This is what he said.
For you, what was the most enjoyable thing you did this summer that was not basketball related?
Most enjoyable thing... I don't know. Probably
was
just
that good, or?
Yeah, I had a good summer, but the most enjoyable thing, I don't know. I guess reading a book.
What book?
I have no book I read. I don't know. I'll say going up for a walk. Okay. Gone on nice walks. Yeah, with good views. Watch the sunset. Stuff like that.
Sounds like a good time.
It was fun.
And then,
what was the best thing you did this summer? I don't know. Read a book. Which book? I don't know. Go for walks.
That's what people who like try to show that they read but don't actually read.
Yeah, it's like, let me show your good reads.
You can box them in a corner if they're like, hey, give me a book recommendation.
You know that one by Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, love Gladwell. So insightful.
I love OG. That got me thinking, what was the best thing you did this summer? Text in 590-590. Also, book recommendations. We'll take it. Leads us into the A-list. That would have been an A-list topic, OG and his quirks. I got a couple more for you. We'll take a break. Don't forget to text in 590-590 your parlay pick today. We got a couple already. People are eager. They want the Chad from Peterborough love. They're already on it this morning.
Yeah.
They want that 2 for 2, hopefully, moving forward. Once again, we're going to use you as the anchor. So probably from either Canada Soccer, who plays at noon, which I think is a good little tweak, Blue Jays and Yankees, I think will be the big ones that we're watching tonight. No football, not much else going on sports-wise. So potentially choose from one of those games.
Yeah, what are you watching? Tell us, give us a pick from what you're watching. If you want that Chad from Peterborough shine, this is your opportunity.
Chad from Peterborough texted in another one, so we'll see if he's selected again.
I was like thinking, like, let's treat this like an NBA shoot-around where it's just like, right? Give the ball back to Chad from Peterborough.
Like, don't mess with it's not broken.
I don't want to deter everybody else. Like, if you make the shot, you get the ball back, right?
All right. Big opportunity ahead. Let's take a break. Do the A-list next. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Massive implications tonight. Hopefully tomorrow on the A-list we'll be celebrating the achievements of the city of Toronto. But today, this is the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
The Lou Marsh Trophy will be renamed. The trophy awarded to Canada's Athlete of the Year. Last year, this was a discussion point. Would they officially announce that they would be renaming the Lou Marsh Trophy? They will be doing so. Now, the next part of the question is, what should they rename it? The Toronto Star is actually taking public submissions for a new name. The award is handed out in December, so you have some time. But I'd like to get your ponderings on the text line 590-590. Let's start the conversation early. September, this was just announced. First part of the question, what should they rename it to? And second of all, is there someone that you're feeling very confident in being awarded that trophy? Let's start with who you want to rename it to, possibly.
Okay, so there's like the all-time winner, Wayne Gretzky. I don't think this is a Wayne Gretzky award, though. Like, I wouldn't be going that route. Mm-hmm. I'm also fully in the camp that Terry Fox should have a more
high-profile Terry Fox.
But I think it should honestly be more important than, like, we're talking about money. Like, can we get Terry Fox on the money? Like, Terry Fox, greatest Canadian.
I thought you were saying that the award should be more important than Terry Fox.
No, I think Terry Fox, whatever his name is associated with, I think it should be, like, more prestigious.
Okay, I like, put him okay? on,
like,
he's, on the he's almost, $20 bill.
He's almost too high for this. And I don't want to rank athletes because that's not really fair. But Terry Fox is different. And Terry Fox isn't really an individual athlete who would be necessarily in the conversation for what this is. This is athlete of the year, highest level performing, you know, on a worldwide stage. I would go Christine Sinclair. She's only won it once. But I think in terms of, like, influential athletes changing the future landscape of sport in this country, I think in 20 years, soccer's 1B to hockey, maybe even beyond. Like, it's going to be, we're just seeing the start of it, of course, with the women winning the gold medal. Now the men going to the World Cup, hosting a World Cup. I mean, this is on the sort of trajectory that really we can't compare to anything. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, like, the youth statistics, kids are playing soccer at a rate in Canada that is so far beyond other sports here, but also so far beyond what, like, American kids are doing right now. So our future in soccer is huge. And Christine Sinclair is really the person who not carried the torch, you know, designed, fashioned, lit the torch. She is responsible for anyone in the growth of soccer in Canada, I think. And if it is so important in the future, then she, you know, that's sort of the recognition that I think she deserves as being, like, a globally dominant, like, is she still the record holder for goals?
Pretty sure.
I mean, what else? We don't have many of those. And this is a global game.
That's true. The only thing I would say is that I feel like the pathway they'll go with someone a little bit not a current. I think
she's
that
she's almost at the end of the line.
I would say that they would probably pick somebody back in time a bit more.
Okay.
Imagine them picking a female too. Wow. Controversy.
Accomplishments are accomplishments.
I agree. I'm all for it. Go girls, but historically.
Are you going MPP?
See, that's the thing, is I don't think that they would pick someone that's currently
okay. So we're
a player. That's
could.
Why I
they
thought
could.
Terry Fox would be
okay.
incredible.
Terry Fox is yours.
Everybody understands the impact that he's made across this country. He's now passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legacy award. I agree with your fact that he should be on the dollar or the $20 or the $100, but
and it shows
is that
going
to happen? I don't know what the process to getting someone on the money is when I get there.
Yeah.
But
I think it shows that like accomplishments aren't limited to like, hey, you won the Champions League. You know what I mean? Like you can make your mark from an athletic standpoint by just running across the country, being someone that people look up to. You don't necessarily have to be the pinnacle. However, this award is about the pinnacle. It is about the athlete who achieved the most.
Why not give it to Penny Lesiak then? Canada's most decorated Olympic athlete.
Active.
See,
I'd
that seems strange
I'd go Sinclair over Lesiak. But
well, she's got more medals.
But that wasn't an argument. Like, if I wouldn't bat an eye if they named it after Terry Fox. He deserves mm-hmm. more than he's been given. And, you know, he's a celebrated Canadian, 100%, and deservedly so.
How about Chris Cuthbert? He thinks Tom Longboat Award.
Tommy Longboat, eh? Is Tom Longboat a runner? See, this is the problem with it.
He was a distance runner
yes.
from the Six Nations Reserve.
The problem is, I don't know, like, not if I can't tell you exactly what Tom Longboat did off the top of my head. I did get running as his sport. I don't know if it's going to resonate with as many people.
Maybe you need to read a book like Pat, like OG and you know.
I'll just tell people I read a book.
Okay. A couple texts coming in. Paul Henderson.
Okay.
Clara Hughes Award, multi-Olympic champion. It's a good one. Alex from Maple. Andrew and St. John. First of all, I hope you're doing all right, Andrew and St. John. Tough scenes from there. Hope you're keeping safe. The Kathy, Canadian Athlete of the Year. Like, I think that's really witty. Like, the Kathy, C-A, athlete, Andrew. Good one. How about Rick Hansen? He literally went around the world. Eric from Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Terry on the 20.
I'm all for Terry on the 20.
Yeah, you like Eric in Georgetown, too.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, who's going to jump at it first? I don't know. I mean, just Terry Fox legacy been around
can't
for a long time.
Both?
Like, he could definitely have both. He could definitely be in prime position for this. But in terms of active athletes... And, like, recent athletes, I mean, I guess you could discuss Sidney Crosby.
Justin, no.
I just feel like it should be... You know,
you're living
you
in the moment too much. This is a
I'm not,
legacy
picked...
history award.
But, like, our athletics have evolved so much.
It's true.
I think we should celebrate what's around now and what we've just seen. And I think you can hold up Christine Sinclair's accomplishments to just about anyone. Haley Wickenheiser?
How about Donovan Bailey? A couple texts in from him. Mike from Brampton. Justin B. from Toronto. Said maybe Justin Bieber.
I don't know about Bailey.
Your decision-making, just it's interesting to me.
What's interesting about
just, it? I don't know. It's like it's... They're very, like, you really want a common, like, a person that's currently playing.
I'm thinking about the, I'm thinking
competing.
About how this
how it's
ages.
Going to age. Okay, so that's
I'm thinking
that's
about
where
25 years.
From. I like that then.
I think in 25 years, we're looking back, wow, we had the greatest women's soccer player.
That helps with my understanding.
For multiple
looking
decades?
Forward. Steve Nash.
Still a record holder?
Multiple Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is the other one that I forgot to bring up.
When I view this award, it to be more than athletic accomplishment. And I don't really know, not to say that I don't know if these people are good people. I think they're all incredible people.
Well, I think that's very important.
But
that's
Steve
the reason why this
Nash,
is being changed, right?
Yeah, that's the reason it's being changed for individuals that are unsure.
And we're not going to pay in any, like, I don't know. We don't know these people. And we're not going to do the research on like, every person's individual
correct.
Life.
Steve Nash is a world-renowned human.
He is. And I think what I like about Sinclair, what I like about Nash, is they took a sport to another level mm-hmm. in this country. And again, 25 years from now, we're going to be looking at basketball and soccer
you're right.
as the fastest growing sports in our country and the biggest, two of the biggest sports in our country, along with hockey, I believe. So Nash with basketball, Sinclair with soccer, helped raise the profile of global games. Mm-hmm. And I think for that reason, they're worthy of this. Or we can wait and do Alphonso Davies.
A little too early for that one. Text in 590-590 your thoughts on what they will or what they should rename the Lou Marsh. And I'm sure we'll recycle this conversation approaching December and who should be Canada's best athlete this season, this year. Should they rename it the Ben Ennis Award? Who knows? He's up next on the Fan Morning Show. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan.